Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Diagnosing a Killer. I'm Gwell.
And I'm Kenna.
And we sound a little weird.
Elephant in the room.
We sound a little weird because we are testing out recording in two separate rooms. We are trying to be adult women here, and eventually we will have to move out. So I think, in practice of that or looking forward to that, we're kind of looking towards, trying some stuff out. So I might sound a little funky. Kenna has the original setup with her. So she probably sounds great. I probably sound like a robot.
I might sound a little weird.
Maybe just a little bit.
Yeah, and see, we're gonna probably interrupt each other a lot because we do have a touch of a lag.
It's so
But
true.
I do have the original setup. I just have a different, like, closet. So my echo, I don't know if it's there. I don't think it's there, but it's definitely different.
It's kind of funny too because we're so used to recording in front of each other that we can see each other's body language. So we know when one's about to speak or something as well.
Right.
So this is the first time we're actually using the sweet, very sweet gift from Louis. Louis sent us a microphone because he loves it so much. So he
Woohoo!
sent us a little bit of a secondary setup. And thanks, Lou.
Yeah, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Anything to help propel the podcast forward.
Yeah, I can't wait for him to buy me a drink later because he's in town. So, all right. With that, would you like to give everyone our handles?
Sure. If you are new here, you can follow us anywhere on social media at Diagnosing a Killer, with the exception of X, formerly known as Twitter, which is at Killer Diagnosis. We do have a email setup that is diagnosingakiller@gmail.com. You can send a request for a case there, or if you just want to chat, you can also DM us for those as well on Instagram. We do have Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, all that good stuff set up as well, if you would like to support us that way. And then last but definitely not least, we have a great Patreon community. We have four tiers on that Patreon. Tier one is going to get ad-free mental breakdowns every week. Tiers two, three, and four will get ad-free both episodes or every episode that comes out. And tiers three and four will get an additional bonus episode at the end of each month. So go ahead and check that out. It takes just a couple minutes to sign up. And we have about almost 12, I think, episodes. The next one's coming out soon for those bonus episodes.
Thank you. Oh, you know what's so funny is
Yes.
that at the beginning we forgot to say this is the Minty Breaky. I just said
Oh,
this is
yes, this
diagnosing.
is the Minty Reiki.
Yeah, I just said welcome back to Diagnosing a Killer, but this is the Minty Breaky for everyone that doesn't know. Monday cases are actually not cases. In fact, we usually talk about disorders or experiments or specific types of people or interesting cases, things like people that get acquitted or, interesting stuff like that. So that's usually our Mondays. And
Definitely.
then on Thursdays will be our regularly scheduled cases.
Definitely. And the AC just kicked on in my room. If anyone heard that, it's gonna be there for a little while, so sorry.
I feel like it's so quiet in here, but it's just not the usual setup. So it's kind of funny.
Exactly.
Alrighty. So with that, today we are going to be talking about Capgras disorder. Or Capgras delusion or Capgras syndrome.
I feel like I've heard the term before, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what it is.
It is also known by the French name L'illusion de Suzy. Damn,
Whoa,
did you
look
hear
at that
that? I know,
accent.
right?
That was
I had to spell it.
perfect.
I had to spell it phonetically.
I love that.
So this also translates to the illusion of lookalikes or doppelgangers. So Joseph Capgras was a French psychiatrist who co-coined the term in a paper after studying a woman who claimed to have a condition in which she believed that her husband was actually replaced by another person or being.
Okay.
She was nicknamed Madame Macabre. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
So Capgras disorder is a very rare condition. It is not currently recognized by the DSM-5, and it is more so classified as an unspecified delusional disorder.
Okay, that's what I was thinking when you said she had the delusion thinking that he was someone else or maybe replaced by someone else. That reminds me of one of those schizotypal delusional, you know, the things that they trick your brain, the delusions of, you know, like delusions of grandeur or delusions of, you know, yada yada. It would be one of those. That's what I was thinking of.
Correct. Yeah, it was with the paranoia as well.
Yes.
So although originally believed to be a psychiatric disorder similar to schizophrenia, at the time, Capgras disorder was assumed to be linked to hysteria, because why not? Let's go, girls.
Of course.
And it was predominantly seen in female patients around the time, so that's probably why they came to this conclusion, which is not totally correct.
Yeah, that's
incorrect.
Interesting, too. I feel like right now, there's a lot of patients now that are diagnosed with schizophrenia spectrum disorder, but I feel like it's pretty male-dominated now, that diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Capgras, though, for whatever reason, it is predominantly in females. It's also predominantly in Black people as well, and I'm not entirely sure why, but it's also, we'll get into the comorbidities as well, so.
Yeah, and it could be definitely a genetic lineage thing.
Yes. So further research into Capgras disorder in the 1980s actually linked this syndrome with patients who were also diagnosed with things like dementia or Alzheimer's.
Okay.
So up to 80% of cases of Capgras disorder are people who have experienced neurodegenerative conditions. Oftentimes someone with Parkinson's or epilepsy, people who have had stroke or brain injury, or even other mental disorders such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's definitely, I mean, you would think that you see that now there's commercials, right, about people that have dementia or Alzheimer's and there's like an aggression there.
Yeah.
And it's because they're so frustrated. They don't trust the people that are around them to take care of them as well.
That's got to be scary.
It does. It has to be really scary. Symptoms of Capgras disorder are that the patient is in disbelief that a loved one is the person whom they're presenting themselves to be. But this can also stretch not just to loved ones, but to distrusting acquaintances, pets, and even inanimate objects.
What?
Yeah, like I was wondering if that meant... This sounds so, I don't know, maybe I'll have to do more of a look-see on that, but, you know, like, if you think that maybe your lamp is bugged.
Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily that you think that your refrigerator is your husband or anything.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, dang, that could be anything.
These emotions felt by the patient might come and go, especially in dementia or Alzheimer's patients. In some cases, people suffering from Capgras disorder may become aggressive or violent in an effort to defend themselves from the imposter, which, again, is really scary.
That is really scary. But again, it reminds me a lot of someone that's on the schizophrenic spectrum. Like, you could have those delusions and you could think that maybe your mother has been replaced by an alien or a CIA agent or something. You know, it sounds very similar to that type of delusion.
Yeah. This disorder is not to be confused with imposter syndrome, however. And for those of you who don't know, imposter syndrome is defined by Psychology Today as saying, quote, people who struggle with imposter syndrome believe that they are undeserving of their accomplishments and the high esteem in which they are, in fact, generally held. They feel that they aren't as competent or intelligent as others might think, and soon enough, people will discover the truth about them. Those with imposter syndrome, which is not an official diagnosis, are often well accomplished, and they may hold high office or numerous academic degrees, end quote.
Why are you going to call me out like that? That was too
I like
perfect.
How I called you out right when you said it. So in contrast, Capgras syndrome is diagnosed by a series of physical and mental tests, including in-depth imaging of the brain by MRI or EEG. Do you know what those stand for, Kenna?
MRI is mirror radiology innovation something. No, it's not. No, I mean, I know EEG is the heart, right? And then MRI is like the whole body.
Well, I think they're both brain, but yeah.
Oh, that was
you
dumb.
Because you can isolate MRI. It's okay. I didn't look up to see what the acronym was representing. I just figured
I see what you're
watched
saying.
So much Grey's Anatomy.
I can look it up. Looking for a new perfume or cologne to match your style? Scentbird has got you covered. With over 600 scents to fall in love with, Scentbird is a fragrance subscription box that will give you plenty of choices. Just choose what you would like from their best sellers, activate your subscription, and receive your first 120 spray bottle. Click the link in the show notes now to receive an exclusive offer with Scentbird. Okay. Oh, got it. Okay. Magnetic resonance imaging. I was kind of close.
Okay. Yeah.
And you said EEG?
EEG, yeah.
EEG.
Not EKG. I think EKG might be the heart.
Yeah, EKG is the heart. EEG is electroencephalography. It's like one long word that I don't know how to say. There it is, folks.
Often it is found that Capgras disorder is caused by various lesions or markings along the brain's frontal lobe or right hemisphere, which damages the central nervous system.
That makes sense.
With this damage, it is theorized that the brain may not be able to cognitively recognize someone else's face. Further complicating this, the brain then creates an emotional response that is not in alliance with the patient's normal response to maybe a loved one. Mm-hmm. Although these are professional guesses, there is no one cause or confirmation that this is exactly the reason why Capgras develops. Essentially, there are no facial recognition in some of these cases of Capgras. Like, people just, they aren't able to look at a person and see that familiar face that they're used to.
That's so interesting, because that's something that I've read about before. It's like, people are designed, their brains are designed to recognize faces, like, of course, mm-hmm. familiar faces, but also create faces out of something that may not be a face, like an inanimate object, like you said. Like, I don't know, mm-hmm. I'm not alone here, I know I'm not, but, you know, if you're driving behind a car and you see, like, there are two taillights, and then they have, like, a little dent in the bottom, and it looks like two eyes and a little smile or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's, your brain is, like, not made to recognize that, but that's part of the human mind, I've read. It's like, yeah, you're supposed to see faces, which is why it's so easy for people to hallucinate faces when they're doing mm-hmm. hallucinogenic drugs, or just hallucinating in general due to a mental disorder. So that's interesting to me that it's almost the opposite.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, we're trained to realize what's familiar and what's not familiar, because that's mm-hmm. where we know we're safe. So I can't imagine what it must feel like to sit next to someone that, let's say, you're married to for a decade or two, and to look over and mm-hmm. suddenly you don't recognize that person. How terrifying that must be.
Yeah, that's got to be really scary.
And no wonder, like I said, when people tend to get aggressive or violent, like, they're trying to defend themselves because they feel like they're in danger. Mm-hmm. Ugh, it's heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, it's really scary.
There are many treatment options in order to treat underlying conditions or comorbid conditions, such as schizophrenia disorders or dementia. Some antipsychotic medications can be prescribed. But unfortunately, when treating someone with Capgras, it can often be difficult to regulate medication given, like, the poor lack of understanding of one's condition.
Yeah, for sure.
If you think that, you know, again, that example that I just gave about the husband, right? If he's trying to feed you your medication, but you don't trust him, you're going to take it?
Of course not.
Right?
God.
Is it the red pill or the blue one?
But that makes sense as well when you say it's kind of compared to people with Alzheimer's or dementia. Like, that's another thing, too. It's like, I don't know you. I'm not going to take this medication, you know?
Yeah.
Or wait for my husband to come back. He'll give me the medication, and then that is their husband mm-hmm. or something.
Ugh, yeah. Yeah, and it's especially got to be frustrating to go in and out of it.
Yeah.
One of the most famous cases of Capgras disorder was the case of Tony Rosato. Tony Rosato was an Italian-Canadian actor who was really well known for his participation on the live skit show Saturday Night Live, and would often rub elbows with the likes of Martin Short and Dan Aykroyd. He was also known for his voice acting in animated TV shows, such as The Busy World of Richard Scarry, Super Mario World, and various other video games. Tony married his wife Leah in 2003, and the couple would soon have a daughter. However, Tony began experiencing some mental health issues, and soon would often become angry. He insisted that his wife and his daughter had been replaced by imposters. And after he had become violent on one occasion, Leah filed for separation.
Oh, no. I mean, like, what is she going to do, though? You know, like, she's
gotta
like, okay,
the baby.
I need to protect... Yeah, exactly. I need to protect myself and my child. But she... And she probably has no understanding of this disorder, you know? But that's right. Gotta be so scary on both of their ends.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, the fact that he's a prominent person, too.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine how scared she must be, like, to want to support her husband and also, out of respect for him, keep some of his issues between them, you
right.
know? But then how alone you must feel.
Yeah, that's got to be really hard.
Leah would also file harassment charges, and Tony would be taken in for psychiatric evaluations. Although Tony would be found guilty of harassment, he would not serve jail time, as it was not Leah's wish. Her wish was that he would get help, so Tony was then sentenced to stay in a mental facility, for 2 years. After 19 months, Tony was released. He was regulated on medication, and the family had a second chance at life again. Tony and Leah would raise their daughter together. Leah said around this time, quote, "I think he's even better than when I first met him. It's incredible.
Aww.
When we spend our time together, I'm just constantly amazed at how healthy he is. He's similar to when we first met. I was falling in love with him, except it's better," end quote.
Aww.
It's really, excuse me, sweet.
Yeah, it is sweet. It's like a success story, you know, as well.
Yeah. The family would stay connected for the next several years, but ultimately the couple would decide to divorce in 2010. Tony Rosato would pass away in 2017 to an unrelated medical condition, a heart attack at 62. So, yeah, it's kind of like a bittersweet story.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, when did you say the disorder was coined?
Oh, 1930s.
Oh, okay. So it's not super, super old, but I mean, it's within the last, 100 years, but still kind of new, I know, in terms of maybe what they know about it. And, you know, you said that they don't have a definitive reasoning why it happens and other things like that. But I wonder if it would be beneficial to be able to do something similar to like a CTE situation where they can inspect the brain, like post-mortem. Mm-hmm. I wonder, and obviously that's not the case with him, but other people, you know, that are experiencing that disorder or the person that has like POA after that person dies, like maybe they could donate, you know, that organ and see if they can find like a better understanding of it just based on like a post-autopsy.
Yeah, I think besides the lesions that they find regularly with cases like this, and I say regularly because, I mean, it's just such a rare disorder. I really don't feel like there's many opportunities to study it. So again, like with the lesions and stuff like that they found on the brain, I really do believe, however, that it is more linked to other disorders. And that's, and you know, initially the situation that's happening, and then the Capgras is a symptom of that.
Got it. Yeah. So it's rare for it to be diagnosed as like a standalone disorder.
Yeah. So again, there's not very many opportunities to research it. I mean, same thing with CTE, you know, the traumatic brain injuries and stuff like that with contact sports. We rarely get an opportunity to look at it, but when we do see it, it's pretty definitive that that's what that is, you know?
Yeah.
There's just
definitely.
No way of proving it, because the only way you can is postmortem. So.
Right, right.
Yes. The family of a loved one who is experiencing these symptoms may be overwhelmed. It is important to remember that this is a disorder, and it does not mean that your loved one loves you any less. They cannot control how they are feeling, so it is important to meet your loved one with patience and compassion. When struggling to identify with someone experiencing Capgras, dementia, or Alzheimer's, it is important to seek out personal and family therapy. This can help the family and other loved ones of the patient understand the perspective of someone experiencing these symptoms in order to ultimately help the patient through this difficult time. If symptoms continue and the patient does become violent or they begin to self-harm, it is paramount to seek professional treatment, and this may even lead up to hospitalization.
Mm-hmm.
And always, if you have an emergency, call 911-999 or your local emergency services.
Yeah, absolutely. That can be a very scary situation, especially since it is so rare, like you were saying. But it's nice to be aware of the fact that that can happen, especially if you have somebody that you are dealing with on a daily basis that has either Alzheimer's or dementia or one of these other disorders that this can become a symptom of. It's nice to have that awareness so that when it does happen, if and when it does happen, you don't have such a big shock factor and you have a better understanding of how to deal with it.
Yeah, I agree for sure. Yeah, it's again, it's very rare. It's astonishing that it even has a name, you know?
Yeah, right. That's what I was saying. I was like, I don't think I've ever heard of this.
But it's true what they say, though. As long as it has a name, then you know you're not alone. So, yeah.
Exactly. That's actually a really good quote. I've never heard that before.
Oh, that's what I would have to tell myself about my orientation. I'm like, it has a name. Like, I am someone. I am someone so much to the point to where someone else recognizes that I'm someone by calling it something, you know?
Yeah, awesome. That's so, a really good way to look at it, for sure.
All right, well, that's it.
Well, thanks. That was a good topic. I've, again, never heard of that, and I love, you know, educating myself on other things, so to where, you know, God forbid, if I am in a situation later in life, I can maybe recognize that if I see it happening, as opposed to not educating myself and not knowing. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, I'm going to go watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh my gosh, great. Okay, well, you guys be looking forward to that 3-parter coming out. We are most likely going to do this other room recording as well for that. So we're going to have 3-part episode coming out. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but that will be over the next 3 weeks. And we will see you guys then.
Yeah.
All right. Ready?
All right. I don't know. We'll see
how
this works out.
Okay, can we try it? One, two, three.
Let's try it.
Love
you. Bye.
Bye.
When I think about the latest trends, I think Spencer's. Spencer's has been a mall must-visit since its first store opened in 1963. From then, Spencer's has always stocked the most unique and buzzworthy products, including but not limited to their wide range of lava lamps, their body jewelry cases, and of course their infamous wallet wall. And don't forget about their 18 and up section, dedicated to sexual health. Did I mention their humanitarian work? Spencer's has been partnered with the ACLU for years in an effort to protect individual rights, as well as other nonprofits, such as cancer. With over 670 locations in the US, Spencer's is the hottest place for trends, even after 75 years. Click the link in the show notes to receive an exclusive offer today. Spencer's, life's a party, and we're making it fun.